Blog Talk Radio.
Unwrap. Hidden beach. What?
Well, good evening once again, and welcome to the PRF Table. I'm your host, Brother Dunlap. Also sitting at the table with us is Sister Mary Ann Williams, and we're just delighted that you just come in and join us today. If you haven't been with us before, possessions, resources, and finances is what PRF stands for. And what we have at the PRF table is a saying is that everybody has a seat at this table, which means that even though we'll be talking about some spiritual things or some religious things or some church things tonight, you have a voice at this particular table. So we honor everybody because God created everybody. So we just want you to just come, join, be a part of the conversation that we're having tonight. Tonight we're going to be having a conversation about spiritual gifts and PRF. And if you go and you look on the Blog Talk Radio website, because we're up under the We Speak Radio Network on Blog Talk Radio, and you'll notice that in the title of the message, it is spiritual gifts and PRF with a question mark behind it. There's a reason why I have a question mark behind it, and that is simply this. What does spiritual gifts and PRF have to do with anything? And that's what we're going to be exploring tonight. So really tonight, we're going to be really focusing on the question of how does spiritual gifts relate to PRF? Or should we say, how does it relate to the enhancement of your PRF profile? I want us to look at that and look at how can your spiritual gifts apply to help somebody with their particular situation, or better yet, your own individual PRF profile. And I've mentioned PRF profile two times, so I will explain what the PRF profile looks like because everybody has one. But before I go any further, I just want to welcome Sister Mary Ann Williams to the table. Once again, she is a regular, and we on the PRF table also know her as Mama. So, Mama, how are you doing this fine evening?
I am just doing fine this evening, and I want to say good evening also to the PRF family.
Yes, we are definitely a family here, and for anybody who may just be joining us for the first time, we have some very interesting conversations on this show. We have some very interesting dialogue on this show. We don't always agree on everything that everybody says, and that just lets everybody know that we are just human, we are unscripted. We really just allow God to lead and direct us. And, of course, we let sometimes our excitement and our emotions get in the way from hearing each other occasionally, but that's okay because at the end of the day, when the show goes off the air, we all go off the air and we are in connection with one another and we love one another and there's never any animosity or anything going on at the PRF table, even when we may not agree with what everybody else is saying. So we are definitely a family. We're definitely a community of believers and a community of individuals who really just love God and love to just do this particular work that we're doing here on Blog Talk Radio. So, Mama, this is what we want to talk about tonight. You know, I can tell you, you know, there's always a background. There's always, you know, why did this come up? And for about the last 6 weeks, I've been ministering at my home church on spiritual gifts. And last week, last night, I would say, was really the conclusion of my opportunity to minister for these past 6 weeks on spiritual gifts. And then I thought about it. Is it really a conclusion? Did I really end the lesson? Did I end all that I was doing or all that God was doing with me to minister to the people? Or was it really a transition? And then I thought about that. I said, you know what, it really was a transition because when you're talking about spiritual things, when you're talking about a subject such as spiritual gifts, this is not one of these subject areas where you just get it, and because you know what it is for you, that everything is just going to be the same and there's not going to be any twists or turns with it. No, I strongly believe that even when God reveals to you your spiritual gift, even when you understand what your spiritual gift is, that there are some additional questions that sometimes will even come up. One of the questions that came up last night was, can God give you that spiritual gift, or can you use your spiritual gift or have a spiritual gift just for a moment? Can you have that spiritual gift just for a moment or just for a certain period of time. And I thought about that, and I said, well, you know, as we were dealing with the different scriptures, which I'll mention in a minute, it became real clear to me really, really quick that I can't answer that. I can't answer that and say no. I can't answer that and say yes. I can tell you what I think and what I believe, because that answer is not something that is necessarily written in stone or in black and white in a particular scripture in a side of our Bible. So my response was, well, let's think about certain situations. And certain situations may only occur once every 3 years. Well, that may mean that for that particular time in that particular person's life or that particular congregation's life or that particular group of people's life, God may use you, God may use I, and place that gift in us to be able to help in that particular situation, Mama. And
yes,
we may not exercise that same thing for another 3 to 4 years. So my final statement on that was, and please feel free to jump in, who am I to say that you was not exercising a spiritual gift because you're not exercising it every single week? See, there can be a very big misconception about exercising that gift.
Right.
Mm-hmm. We'll get into, in a few minutes, the different types of gifts, but one of them is a teacher, right? So if I have the gift of teaching, and if I am a gift of being a teacher to a particular body or part of the body, and if I'm not teaching every single week at the particular church that I happen to be a member of, does that mean that I'm not exercising my gift? No, it does not. Because the reality is, in the spiritual foundation that we want everybody to get from this is, your gift is something that needs to be used to benefit people, to benefit the church, more especially to bring glory to God. So if we can deal with it like that, I am so certain that things will run a whole lot smoother than the way that they're actually running in certain places. Mama, go ahead. I hear you ready to go.
Yes. yes, this is one of my specialties. I love this. I have been used in different gifts. You know, I've been at Walmart, you know, just going Walmart, shopping or whatever, and I'll just look at the person, God will give me a word of wisdom for them. You know, and I'll go over to them, and, you know, I'll speak to ask them how they're doing, you know, and ask them, do you want me to pray for them? And they're just like, oh, my gosh, yes. You know, and as I'm praying for them, God is in the prayers giving me the words to say to them, you know, about their life or their situation. And see, the gifts, God gives us, he distributes the gifts as he will. These are his, and just like you were saying that, you know, God, you know, said we are willing vessels. And so he's looking for, you know, willing vessel. So anyone that we're willing, you know, and say, God, you use me, and I'm any way you want to use me, and God, however you want to use me, whether it's in Walmart or whatever, you know what I'm saying. And so he, you know, he'll give you that anointing, like you say, for that particular time. You know, so it doesn't mean that okay, he's gonna get no, because it comes from him. You know, I can only speak for myself. I just look and I just know. Now, that's coming from God. I didn't go in there looking for anything. I'm going in there just relax and warm up, have a good time. And my eye just focuses on someone. And when I go there, they say, oh, thank you so much, you know. And I remember one time I was in the store. I had my back turned because I was at the aisle. And I just turned around and I saw this person's hand. I didn't see the face because of the way I was turned. And I looked at him, and I said, you want me to pray for you? He said, yes, and he put his hand out. So, see, this is God's business. It's all about him, you know. And he'll use whomever he chooses to use and whatever gift he chooses to use them in. You know what I mean? So, you know, we have to always be led by the Spirit. You say the Holy Spirit would teach and lead and guide us in all truth, you know. And I know that I have the gift of teaching, you know. But it doesn't mean that I just go around teaching everybody. You know, I have to use wisdom. You know, I have to ask God, you know, sometimes I may feel like I want to say something, you know, and teach something, but no. I know it's my emotions, but I'm not feeling, I'm just, something's not right with it, so I don't say anything. So we have to be sensitive to the Holy Spirit. And sometimes I have messed up there because I've gotten in my flesh, you know. But, you know, it's God's business, and he does whatever he wants to do with it.
Yeah. So really what we want to do tonight is focus specifically on spiritual gifts, especially those that we can identify that can be a benefit to, like I said earlier, one, to individuals that are in need, and two, to your own PRF profile. And let me explain what your own PRF profile. We've done it before, but I feel the need to bring it back again. Your PRF profile, your possessions, your resource, and finance profile, it can be defined as your makeup of what you have been given and what you have accumulated in regards to possessions, resources, and finances. Real simple concept. So, for example, your PRF profile is going to consist of the things that you have. You live in a house. That house is part of your PRF profile because that is one of your possessions. You have two cars. Your wife has a car. You have a car. Your husband has a car. You have a car. Those two vehicles are part of your PRF profile because they're possessions. Now, if you have a car note that you're still paying for one of your cars, then that is finances because that's also debt. So that becomes part of your PRF profile from the financial side of the house. If you do not own anything on that other car and your car is worth $3,000 because you don't owe anything on it and it still has a value, then that falls under your, not just your possessions, but it also falls under your finances because now that's an asset. It's something that you can convert to cash if you need to. And then, of course, when we talk about resource, we all know that we as individuals are our greatest resources. However, when it comes to PRF more specifically and looking at those tangible things, you know, your resources is the knowledge that you've gained to be able to help you to do something that helps you to be able to produce a lifestyle of being able to put food on the table and clothes on your children's back. Simple way of putting it is one of your resources is your job. So let's look at spiritual gifts from this context. You understand what a PRF profile is. You understand that everybody has a PRF profile. And then think about this, Mama. Not only do you have a PRF profile, right, the things you've accumulated, the things you've been given, because there is a difference. Some of us have accumulated. We talked about this on the shows about ownership. Some people may have accumulated some things that they did not need to accumulate, but nevertheless, you still have those things. So they're still part of your PRF profile. So you have a profile. Your husband, your wife has a profile. Those of you who are listening, your children have a profile. But also your church has a PRF profile. I can't wait for Sister Adia to jump in and get ready. But your church has a PRF profile. Now, I don't know how we're going to go with that, but I'm going to just throw something out there into the atmosphere. I remember hearing one time from a former pastor of mine, and he said this: you can tell a church loves each other by how they deal with finances. Very interesting concept. And I recall, and I remember that I never heard any fussing and fighting about finances and spending and not giving, and I just didn't hear that. And so I was able to grab a hold to that concept, to that statement that was made, and say, okay, well, this is a litmus test that I'm going to use to see how y'all really love each other here, since I'm kind of new to this particular body. And it played itself out wonderfully. So here's what I want us to do. I would like for us to just, let me just give a couple of background scriptures just so You can go, who are listening, go at your leisure, because we're not going to read everything tonight, but we are going to give them to you so that you are equipped with them to be able to focus on them at a later time if need be. But when it talks about spiritual gifts, and according to the Bible, you have a couple of three different books of the Bible that really mention them. The first one is 1 Corinthians chapter 12, and that will go from the first verse all the way down to the 32nd verse. And then you also have Ephesians chapter 4 that also speaks about spiritual gifts as well. So really going from like the third verse all the way down to like the 11th verse. But again, everybody understands, who knows me knows I'm big on context. So let's not start at the third verse. Let's start off at the first verse so we can capture the chapter at the beginning, right? And then there's another book that also mentions it as well. Romans chapter 12. Romans chapter 12 also mentions spiritual gifts, starting at the fourth verse, going from like 4 through 8, more specifically. Now, when we deal with spiritual gifts, we have to deal with it from a perspective, or here's three perspectives that I see as a common theme as we deal with spiritual gifts from a biblical perspective. In each one of those chapters, it talks about unity, or unity and value, or unity slash value. In each one of those chapters, as you read through them, you will see a theme of unity, or unity slash value, or unity and value. So that's one. That's the one theme that you'll see through all three of those particular books when it comes to these verses about spiritual gifts. The second one is about diversity. So you'll see a mention about diversity of gifts, and that's so important. Diversity of gifts in each one of those chapters, in those particular verses. And the one that I think is just so critical and so crucial, which drives a lot of things in regards to PRF in everybody's life, is purpose. Purpose. So there is a purpose for those spiritual gifts. And I love how in 1 Corinthians 12, if you look at the seventh verse in 1 Corinthians 12, I'll find it and read it to you, but it tells you what the purpose is of spiritual gifts. It says, a spiritual gift is given to each one of you as a means of helping the entire church, or the King James says, for the common good, which is translated to the entire church or to the body. Now, so if the spiritual gift, if that's what it says, as that's what it says, you can go and look it up for yourself, says that a spiritual gift is for the benefit of the entire church, then now let's look at what are the spiritual gifts that's mentioned. And let me put a disclaimer out there, Mama. If you look at 1 Corinthians 12, you'll see that there's 10 gifts that are mentioned. Okay. If you look at Romans chapter 12, you'll see that there are 7 gifts that are mentioned. One of them is a duplicate of one that is also in 1 Corinthians. So just between those two books of the Bible and those two passages of Scripture, there's 16 different gifts that are mentioned. Now, as I was telling the congregation I was ministering with, that does not mean, because the Apostle Paul named 16 specific gifts, that he named an all-inclusive list of every gift that God has to give. Can we agree on that?
Yes.
Yeah, we should be able to agree on that. But if you had to have something to say, well, I'm going to use these as my foundation because I can see them in black and white and I'm going to believe the Bible, then you got 16 that you can choose from out of 1 Corinthians 12 and out of Romans 12. And they are wisdom, a word of knowledge, faith, healing, miracles, prophecy, discerning spirits, different tongues, interpretation of tongues, government. And then when you look at Romans, you have prophecy, I've repeated one again, ministry, teaching, exhortation, giving, mercy, and ruling, or ruleth, which is the word that is in the King James, which really means to manage or to direct or lead, which would be considered, that particular one would be one that you can consider or would be categorized as a leadership gift. Now, let's deal with it. So we have 16 different gifts. And it says that each one of us is given a gift, and we know that Paul is talking to the church, so he's talking to believers, right? So we're all given a gift, and each one of our gifts is to benefit the entire church.
Right.
So the question becomes, if we're operating, each one of us is operating in our spiritual gift, can that have an impact, Mama, on the possessions, the resources, and the finances of individuals and also of the church?
I would say yes, because these gifts, they're helping. And what, to me, this program is about, it's about helping people in need. So it's saying that these gifts is for, you know, is to benefit, you know, the church, and that means everyone in the church to be benefited from these gifts. So with that being said, that means that, you know, God can bring someone in my path to give me just a word of wisdom about something that I've prayed about. You know what I'm saying? And that's and he just used that person, you know, just give me a word of wisdom. And then I know, okay, you know, my spirit feels it. I say, okay, all right, I feel comfortable with that. So, yes, to me, these gifts are gifts to help people. You know what I mean? And all of us have needs. All of us have some type of need. And so these are different gifts, you know, and because there are different gifts and people are all different, then God can use these gifts. And as you mentioned earlier, gifts that's not in here to help us, you know, to grow, you know, to just give us a word of something we need to do. He'll choose someone to give it to us, you know, if this is what he wants to do, because it says he gives out the gifts according to his will.
Okay, so now we have, let's think about what we've done over the last couple of years here on the PRF table. We have talked about so many problems. We have talked about a lot of solutions. We've talked about a lot of processes. So now let's take all the things that we have talked about over the last couple of years that God has allowed us to be on this PRF table. And let's think back and say, you know what, when we were dealing with debt a year or so ago or around Christmas time and trying to encourage people to not get into debt, because we know that if people get into debt because of the holidays, which we said that's not a good thing, not a wise thing, then you're going to have to deal with that at a later date. So what we were doing was we were trying to encourage individuals not to get themselves into debt so that it would not affect them from a negative perspective later on in their life. So what I'm proposing is, go ahead.
Oh, I'm going to say it's also a word of knowledge for those that really didn't know that information. And it's also a word of wisdom for us that do know. So there are two gifts operating right there. Because, you know, some people just don't have a clue about, you know, when Christians come, they've never – They just go out and they buy. But, you know, listen to the show. Here is some knowledge that we're gaining. So that, to me, that's a word of knowledge, you know. And then I could have the knowledge, but then I'm not really using wisdom. I'm not applying it right in my life. But once I've heard the discussion, there it is. Not only did I get the word of knowledge, you know, I also got the word of wisdom.
Well, the thing is, when we talk about gifts, those are things that are given. So there's two different things that we're dealing with there. What you're talking about is somebody receiving that word of knowledge. What you're talking about is somebody receiving that wisdom. But as a gift, it is something that I give. So I can't do anything about whether somebody receives the gift or not. That is something that's something that somebody, that God has to work with that individual on, because we know we are communicating a lot of good information on this show. We know that God is leading us in most of the things that we say on this show. However, we don't control who picks up the phone. We don't control who goes and listens to the archives. We don't control who goes and listens to the show on the internet when it's streaming live. So what we can do is exercise. It's about what we're exercising. And once I exercise what God has placed into me, then it's up to God and that other individual on the other end to do their part.
Yes.
As well as other people that may come across those individuals' paths, because it may take us just planting the seed here on the PRF table.
Yes.
It may take somebody else putting some water on it, and then another person putting some water on it for God to get the increase and for that individual to have an increase in their life as well. So I want to make a distinction about gifts. I'm only going to make the distinction because the Bible makes the distinction. So you have two types of gifts. You have gifts that are for the church, which is the list that I just ran down to you, right?
Yes.
Those are for the church. The benefit is to, those gifts are to benefit the entire church. And then what we have is gifts to the church. Now, a gift cannot operate by itself, right?
Right.
A gift has to come through somebody in order for it to be able to operate. So what Paul does in 1 Corinthians 12, he says, he talks about the gifts in the beginning couple of verses. He mentions those gifts, and then he talks about unity. And then he comes back and he says, now, and to some he gave. Because he's talking about unity, talking about valuing each other's gifts. So now after he talks in that context, he brings and says, and now, and to some he gave apostles, and to some he gave prophets, and to some he gave teachers. Well, it is very, very important for everybody to understand, especially the readers, of what an apostle is, what a prophet is, and what a teacher is.
Yes.
When I look at what the context of 1 Corinthians 12 is, apostle is one thing, a prophet is another, and a teacher is another, because he says first, second, and third. So there's no question that they are all different, right? Three different gifts. And then when you go over and look at, I mentioned Ephesians, right? When you go over to Ephesians, you see five mentioned versus just three. Apostles, prophets, evangelists, pastors, and teachers. So, and he gave some apostles and prophets and some evangelists and some pastors and teachers. So now we have five different gifts that are mentioned there, even though three of them were mentioned before. Here's what's interesting. Three is for one in one letter to one group of people. Five is mentioned to another. The whole thing is God has placed gifts in individuals or as individuals to the church to benefit the church. So if we do not value the gifts that God has given to the church, you can't expect certain things to happen. Let me tell you, let me just go over real quick and deal with what is something that talks about the purpose of the gifts. When you go and look at 1 Corinthians 4, and I'll read it. In 1 Corinthians 4, when he gets down to verse 11, he's talking about, or he starts to talk about, what is the purpose for this. And it says, he's the one who gave these gifts to the church. The apostles, the prophets, the evangelists, the pastors, and teachers. Verse 12 is important for everybody to know. Their responsibility is to equip God's people to do his work and, so look at it, to equip God's people to do his work and build up the church, the body of Christ. Well, what's the purpose in doing that? Until such time when it comes in unity of faith and knowledge of God's Son, who is Christ, that we will be mature and full grown in the Lord, measuring up to the full stature of Christ. So when I read that, when I hear that, when that settles into my spirit, that lets me know that there are several individuals that God has given as gifts to the church for the upbuilding of the saints, for the equipment of God's people, and to build up the church. Now, that does not mean that in every church you got to have all five of those gifts. But it also means in every church, it doesn't mean that one gift is exalted above the other.
Right. That's good.
Because he mentions first apostles, then prophets, then evangelists, and then pastors, and then teachers. And it says pastors and teachers. So I don't want to get into the conversation because I don't think it ever end about is pastors and teachers. Does it need to be pastors and teachers? First, both, you know, a pastor has to be a teacher. I don't know. You take that to God. I can't answer that question for you. But I know there's some pastors who are not teachers. And I know there's some teachers who are not pastors. And I know there's some teachers who have a primary gift of teaching and a secondary gift of ministry or ministering and vice versa. So when I think about it, I say, okay, if look at what God has given to the church. Look at what God has given to us as individuals. And then let's look at what does our church look like. Now, I'm not talking about churches everywhere because you know how I am about, but I say, what does the church that I belong to look like? What gifts has God given to that church to help equip the saints and to build up that particular church? Is there a pastor there? Is there a pastor and a teacher there? Is a prophet also there? Is an evangelist there as well that is part of that particular body, that particular congregation that just may not be there all the time? I'm just bringing this up because when things look the way they look in several of our churches or several churches, as we can talk about it from what we've heard people say here at the PRF table, then what I do is I seek God and say, okay, God, show me what is it that we can give to the people, that we can give to the listeners, to see if they can increase their knowledge about your understanding or understanding from you about what it is that you would have for them so that they can be equipped and so that they can be built up so they can do your work. I think about people in debt. Think about homeless people and the individuals who are homeless, not homeless people, individuals who are homeless at the time.
Right.
I think about people who are heavily in debt. I think about individuals who lost their job. I think about individuals that can't afford to send their son or their daughter to college because they didn't save up like I didn't when a child was young, or because they couldn't afford to save up for a child's education when they were young and as a baby growing up. I think about all these PRF concerns that we've called them, that we've talked about over the last couple of years. And it seems to me that with God giving all of these gifts to individuals in the church and God giving all of these gifts to the church, that we should be in a very different place in many of our churches today if spiritual gifts were operating in the manner in which I believe they should be operating within the body. Mom, I'm going to be quiet for a minute. If you had anything, I'll let you jump in here.
No, that's just, I'm just listening here now because that is so true, but go ahead.
Okay, so let's go to Romans 12, right, and let's deal with when he talks about if your gift is teaching. Well, let me just give you context. He said, look, God's given all of you, given all, each one of us a gift, each one of you a gift. If your gift is prophecy, prophesy. If it's ministry and service, help, which is helping, ministry is serving and help, it means to help, different kind of things. It talks about the definition of it is it ranges from spiritual biblical teaching to the actual giving of provisions, right? So that kind of, you know, you had to be led by the Spirit anyway because can't say, oh, God just called me always to teach and not, okay, and you got $15 in your pocket and somebody asked you for two, so all you want to do is teach, but you don't want to give anything out of your pocket. Really?
Yes.
Misunderstanding of the ministry, right? Okay, teaching. You know, what does teaching do? Produce understanding. If you're a teacher, teach to the best of your ability. Do it well. If you have the gift of exhortation, encourage individuals. Do that well. If it's to give, give well. And you know what? And when we looked up this before yesterday, it was so interesting because there are so many times where you'll see the word giving or give in the Bible. It doesn't mean the same thing every time. So in one place, you'll see where it talks about to impart, to share, to give generously or contribute to somebody's needs. In this particular context, out of the book of Romans, chapter 12, that's the definition of it. That's the definition. Not giving as far as giving with gratitude or expressing an emotion of gratitude, because that's giving as well. You know, I give thanks to the Lord for all that he's done for me. Okay? That's one act of giving. But the kind in this particular text, this particular context, is about contributing to people's needs. Sharing.
Yes.
You know, that's that same thing in Acts chapter 2. It's the same thing in Acts chapter 12. It's the same thing in 2 Corinthians, number 9, chapter 9. So think about this one, mercy. Mercy is a gift. Now,
yeah.
I think about those gifts, and I think about the things that individuals are going through in regards to PRF. We want mercy. Has anybody out there who's listening ever been in a place where they had a bill that was due and they didn't have the money? Let me tell you how I can tell you right now that individuals believe, even if they don't acknowledge it, Mama, individuals believe that spiritual gifts should be connected to PRF. Because if you've ever had a bill that was due and you didn't have the money, you wanted somebody to give you mercy to have time to pay that bill. You know what it's called, Mama? A grace period. Good gracious. It's amazing how the world uses these concepts that are so spiritual and biblical in nature. They may apply to other religions as well, but I can't attest to it, but I can attest to Christianity. And a gift is, a gift means, the root word comes from the word grace. Charisma, charismatic. Gracious gift. So if you need some help financially, people want mercy.
Yes.
People want mercy. So let's think about resources, PRF, right? If you called your phone company and you needed an extension on that bill so your phone didn't get cut off, I guarantee you, you are going to be wanting the Lord to have somebody positioned as a resource in that place when you tell them, look, I'm not a bad person, I'm not trying to get over on you, but I just don't have it this month. Something came up, I didn't make some right decisions. Something came up this month, had a flat tire, whatever the case may be, I had to spend the money that I needed for my light bill. But if you can just give me until next payday, I promise you I have your money. You can't tell me that you are not asking God. You may do it subconsciously and not even remember it. But I guarantee you, individuals want somebody to be in position as a resource to give mercy in that situation regarding PRF.
Amen.
Car note, same way. Mortgage, same way. Medical bills, same way. You know, when you owe some, when you go to the doctor and you have to pay copays, they want you to give it to you, give them to them up front. But they can't refuse your service, right? Especially at the medical, in the emergency room. So then you put it and you tell them you're going to pay them later. They go and get seen. And then you hit, mess around and you got to go 2 days later. Well, they're not going to not allow you to come because you had that bill. Now, the thing is, you're going to want somebody to give you some mercy. You're going to want them still to treat you, regardless of whether you have the money or not.
Yes. Yes.
Let's deal with teaching. I want somebody to be in position in any church that I'm a member of that is teaching about PRF, because I know how much PRF is a vital part of every single person's life, regardless of how much money they have. It's a vital key. And I want somebody in my congregation to be able to connect not just the physical things or the spiritual things, but also connect the spiritual with the physical.
Mm-hmm.
this is one of the reasons why I am so passionate about PRF. And I know, without a shadow of a doubt, that God is moving for PRF to be included in so many particular churches or congregations in the future. I know it for a fact, because God knows and I know that it's needed.
Yes.
Mama, you know, as you know, some of you as listeners may know, but I taught last weekend. I did a workshop on wills at a church a little way from where I live. And then on that Sunday, I preached on inheritances. And then next Sunday, or this upcoming Sunday, I'll be preaching that or teaching at another church doing the workshop as well on wills. That is such a vital key for us to be teaching in the church. Now, everybody can't teach it, right? You can get a lawyer to come into your church, and they can teach you about wills. That doesn't mean that it's spiritual. They can tell you it is so important for you to have a will. That doesn't mean that's coming from a spirit of encouragement. But when I can communicate to you the biblical truths behind why that is an important thing to have, when I can tell you about some of the implications of when you don't have one, and if something happens when your husband or your wife or your son or your daughter or your child, and they pass away and there's not one there, and then there's some things that need to be taken care of, when I can give you that and I can do it from the spirit of having a spiritual gift of teaching in that particular area, praise be to God.
Amen.
Because this is what I can be convinced of. Just like in Acts chapter 2, when it says, after Peter spoke to them, after they received the Spirit of God was received in the upper room, and they were speaking, and they were hearing them speaking in other tongues, spiritual gift, speaking in other tongues, and then it captured their attention. And as it captured their attention, then they were able to deal with the spiritual piece. Hey, and then here's what it said. That's the only reason why I'm saying it. Because it said this, and when their hearts were pricked. That's my new theme right now. And when their hearts were pricked. And then that caused them to ask a question. What do we need to do to be saved? And then it caused them, Peter, to be able to give a response back. So when we're teaching, we're teaching with an expectation that God will prick their hearts, and that when their heart is pricked, then there'll be give them reason for action. They'll give them a reason to ask a question, what do I need to do? So when I'm talking about wills, when I'm communicating on this workshop on wills, that's one of my aims. Lord, prick their hearts. Not just so that they can hear, you know, it could be a very, very traumatic situation. If a certain individual dies without a will, traumatic for the family, bunch of foolishness, chaos, and all that. But let them do it because of the basic reason of why it's going to benefit. Because there's this law of inheritance that God established long ago that he doesn't want to die just because you and I do. Makes it a very, very more interesting conversation. Allows God to be able to use that teaching in a whole different way other than me as a lawyer coming in saying, here's what a will is. Here's what happens when you don't have a will. Here's what happens when you do have a will. Would you like me to prepare your will for you? Take this information, get it together, and come by my office. And it may have nothing to do with a spiritual nature at all.
Yes.
Let me tell you what I like. In Romans chapter 12, when it talks about, you know, if God is giving you the gift of ministry, minister well. Serve the people well. Now, this is not talking about an individual who is a pastor, right? So it just says the gift of ministry. So
yeah.
We have individuals who have the gift of ministry that love to help, that love to serve, may not have a title. But let's look at what it means. What does that word mean? That word means different kinds of help, not just one type, but it also talks about the spiritual, and it also talks about the practical. the practical, giving up provisions, supplies, support, and also finances to those who have a need. So now, and I'm almost done, Mama, let's go to the gifts that God gave to the church. To the church, the apostles, prophets, evangelists, pastors, and teachers. Those individuals should be able to minister. So if those individuals, and this is just what I believe that if you are an apostle, a prophet, evangelist, pastor, teacher, that's part of ministry. What you do, I mean, as a pastor you lead, as a teacher you teach, as a prophet you prophesy, as an apostle you set up, and as an evangelist you go out and so you do those things. But all of that is still ministry. So it's not just good enough that I stand before the people all the time and telling them how to help get help with their finances. If I'm never willing to give them help with their finances. Does that make sense?
Yes.
Because it's not just one-sided. And it doesn't mean if I'm standing group among a group of 500 and I'm teaching in this area of debt that I can help 500 people get out of debt tomorrow. But I have to have the resources available to me to be able to help as many people as I can. That's what Romans is talking about. If you're a teacher, teach well. Teach the best of your ability.
Yes.
I know it's unorthodox. Trust me, it was unorthodox to me when I was like, this is where you want us to go, God? Okay. Let's do it. And let me say something about wisdom because you touched on it earlier. You mentioned wisdom, and let me bring it into the context of PRF, right?
Yes.
We want individuals to make wise decisions, but the wisdom that we're talking about, that is talked about in the scripture, is the giving of wisdom. Now, that word, especially in 1 Corinthians 12, when it talks about wisdom, that word is translated, it means secular or divine. So it will behoove a lot of us, if we're saying it, that wisdom is only a spiritual thing. Because when you look up in the context, what that word means is secular or divine. Now, let's use some common sense here. Common sense, God gave that to us. Thank you, Lord. If you make $1,000 a month, and your house note is in your household expenses, not talking about bills, but your household expenses is $600 a month, and you make $1,000 a month, I don't need a divine experience or divine wisdom to be able to say to you, mama, daddy, husband, wife, we cannot afford a $500 a month car note.
Right.
You make $1,000 a month, you got $600 in household expenses, and somebody wants to get a $500 no car note. It doesn't take divine wisdom in that situation, yeah. Mama.
It does.
Secular wisdom is very, very key. It's very, very easy in that particular case. You cannot afford it, young man. And if you do that, you're going to have to find an extra $100 a month to pay that. And if you need $100 extra a month, where are you going to get it from? And if you don't have a plan on where you're going to get it from, let me give an example. Like you're about to get a job, or you know you have some money coming in on a certain date. That type of stuff. You know, if you can't say that, it is real easy for me to just apply basic secular wisdom to that situation. Mama, we got a call that's not a caller.
Sure.
We got somebody that wants to jump in. So come on, cousin. How you doing this evening?
I'm doing good. I have enjoyed listening to tonight's show. And I'm chuckling because I don't know how many times I've heard people say that God has blessed them with something or that they, I don't know, lack of a better word. I really hate to say this because I don't want to sound like I'm being contradicting myself, but that they pray about everything. But I think at the same time, balance is the key. So I'm listening to you, you know, talking about wisdom, and I cannot, you maybe you gave the scripture and I just did not hear it, but when you look at the Bible, I'm trying to see if I can pull my thought right quick, and it talks about godly wisdom, I want to say that the G is lowercase.
Right,
you can correct me if I'm wrong, which is referencing non-big G wisdom, so to say, more common sense, or you know what I mean, more of experience, or just things that just make sense. I don't know if that makes sense or whatever, but it's encouraging to. I don't want to ramble, but it's encouraging to hear the stuff that you've been talking about, the different topics and. Shedding light on things that sometimes a person can find themselves battling and struggling with. And I think the best example that you just gave is $1,000, household bill $600, we can't afford a $500 bill car payment. But there are some people that will say that God bless them, because when they went to the dealership, this, and this happened. Or when they applied for this credit card, this, and this happened. And I think we just, you know, people, I have to be careful and to make sure that when we're talking to people and listening to the things that they're saying, that we're being upfront and honest with them and doing what Ephesians, I believe, 4 says, we're talking about, you know, talking in love. And I say that because I was just talking to my son who got money for his birthday. And I always tell my kids, I will not let you spend every dime. I'm not going to let you do that. I don't care if it is birthday money. Save your money. And so I had to show him the difference between just because you have the money to do something with does not mean that you have to do it. And so I think a lot of times what adults fall into is, well, I have the money to do it before. Maybe they didn't have those means before because things were, there was a financial strain, or they're making a little bit more money now so they have the flexibility to do things. But one thing that I'm a firm believer in is that just because you have the financial resources to do something doesn't mean that you have to do it. Case in point, I was at the outlet, and there was a big old sign that said, I don't know, some kind of piece of jewelry that was $649. And I was like, man, you know, to be able to just go in there and to buy something just because you have the money to do it, is that wise to do? Because you're spending that amount of money on one single item, but not factoring in, because sometimes people don't think about these things, factoring in that if I don't have money in savings, why would I spend $649 on something just because I can't? If I don't have things set aside, if I have not go on grocery shopping, just because I have $300 to do something with doesn't mean that I have to. So I think that people fall into those hidden traps of thinking that I'm a Christian and I'm going to pray to God about everything. And if people do that, I am not knocking you, because I do believe that God wants us to pray to him about everything. I also believe that he's given us wisdom as well to be able to make decisions, or we would not have the intellect to be able to think and do anything on our own without him. So I think it's wise that we are educated and that we read the word for ourselves and that we seek God, that I seek God, and that I teach other people to do the same thing so that they understand the difference between spiritual gifts. Like you said, you touched on the spiritual gift of grace and mercy. How many people before tonight knew that that was a spiritual gift? And as you were talking, I was just like, yes, like I was taught that. And so I felt so good, but there are people who don't know that. So they fall into the hidden traps because they don't know something. But a lot of times I think some of these things can be figured out if they would listen to the show or open up their Bible to see that godly wisdom, and I'm going to find it, you know, it's lowercase g. And so that So God is saying there are decisions that you can make because I've given you the knowledge and I've given you common sense and the ability to be able to make a decision because he's empowered all of us. And we said on shows before that everything that we need, God has already placed on the inside of us. Now, whether or not we've tapped into it, that's the difference. And so
someone
is not able to know the difference between being house poor or, you know, being upside down in a debt-income ratio, then they need a reality check. And speaking the truth in love, I think, is the best thing, and being receptive to that truth being spoken in love. But I've enjoyed tonight so much. I really have.
And thank you for that. You know, this is just about just doing his work. That's what this whole PRF table is about, is doing his work. Here's one, and just like you said, you know, who would have thought that mercy was a spiritual gift? Isn't it amazing how we seek what we don't know is a spiritual gift from people who are not spiritual? And I know I said we. I know I've been there. I know when I've been late on something. I know when I didn't have the money to pay something. I know when I messed up my money. I sought what is a spiritual gift from individuals who I had no idea were spiritual or not. I wanted the benefit of the mercy, and I didn't care who gave it to me. I didn't care whether, and let's be honest, I don't care, and I didn't care if that person was an atheist. If you can postpone turning my phone off for the next 2 weeks, it doesn't matter if you're atheist or not.
Exactly.
So that opens up a whole other can of worms probably for about 3 or 4 more shows, but we got to be honest, and that's why I said at the beginning of this show that when we talk about gifts, we know that gifts are for the edification, for the equipment of the saints, for bringing us back into the full stature of Christ, or keeping us there and bringing us into the unity of faith. We know what that's about. However, we're going to still operate with those gifts to whoever God wants us to operate them with.
Mm-hmm.
Every person that Jesus went to, Adia Mama, was not already a believer in him.
Mm-hmm.
They may have knew who he was, may have been aware of who he was, but did not believe in him. So if Jesus Christ himself, the one who we should be patterning our lives after about as far as the things that he did, if he did that, as he did that, we in such like manner should be willing to do the same thing. What I believe, and this is just me, what I believe is we have to do a much better job, not that we're doing a bad job, but within our own individual churches, we have to do a much better job at working on what is it that we need to be doing for each other within the body of Christ. So that people can see what we're doing for each other within the body of Christ and want to become a part of the body of Christ. Or when that person who is an evangelist goes out, or that person who God has given that gift of prophecy goes out and prophesies and then says, hey, well, come to Bethlehem. It's not one of those responses, they ain't doing nothing over there. It's not one of those responses, man, I don't want to fool with them jokers over there. Y'all got enough problems. You see what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm.
But if the gifts are operating like they're supposed to, then when people have their needs, and I believe when people have financial needs, when I believe people have those PRF concerns, I believe the church is a place that, or the body of Christ are the ones that people should be willing to go to. And the body of Christ should be the ones that are willing and freely ready to operate with their gifts. Their gifts of discernment. We're going to go past 9 o'clock tonight, y'all. I just know it. But let's think about the gift of discernment. Hey, man, I need to borrow $200. Well, what for, man? You know, man, such and such, such and such. You need the spirit of discernment.
Mm-hmm.
You need the spirit of discernment. Let's go here. I don't want to hear, and y'all know I'm about to go on a soapbox, I don't want to hear how many times somebody has come and asked for money from the church and has done the wrong thing, and then you stop giving it. because somebody else has not done the right thing, or because you say you found somebody that said, oh, I need this for my light bill, and you also found out that they went down the street to another church and got the same thing from them and then went somewhere else. The reality is, where was your discernment? Okay, but does it just need to be discernment in that situation? What other gifts has God given to the church or for the church? He's also given the gift of government, right, which is administration. That means to steer a ship or to guide. So that may mean that if you don't have that gift of government, just because you're the pastor doesn't mean that you need to be making the decision every time. So when somebody comes to my church and they come with a situation, then maybe I need to be willing to direct them to somebody who is not in a quote-unquote office or a position or a title, and connect them with somebody who has that gift of discernment. And then maybe if they talk to that person who has a gift of discernment, say, you know what, this is legit, then maybe it needs to go to the next person who is a person who has that gift of government. They can say, hey, well, you know what, we can't just do write a $1,000 check. I know for a fact that we only brought in $500. We only received $500 this week. So if we do that, then guess what's going to happen? Boing. And it probably ain't nothing worse than a church check bouncing.
Wow.
Let me throw this into the mix. When it comes to the individuals as gifts that God gave to the church, if one is a pastor and one is a teacher, or if one meaning that particular body, has a pastor and a teacher, if both of them are, let's go over what Romans said. If this is the gift that God has given you, do it well. So let's evaluate us as the teachers, right, Adia? Let's evaluate Nate. Mama, let's evaluate Nate. Is somebody's life changing based upon what God has given me to teach? When you say that, there has to be some evaluative process to be able to see if what I'm teaching is working and being effective in somebody's life. So just because I stand up there and I preach a message to you as the members, just because I stand up there and I teach a lesson to you as the members, doesn't mean that I'm doing it to the best of my ability, because it's not a conclusion, it's about a transition. It's not, whoo, praise the Lord, I finished the end of the lesson. Whoo, praise the Lord, I finished the end of the sermon. And now it's up to you to do something with it. No. That tells me that there's somebody who doesn't have a total understanding of them, listen to this, them as a gift, not the gift that they possess. Whenever I recognize and I understand that I am a gift to the world, I am a gift to the body, how I operate becomes a whole lot different. Gosh. Y'all, I just want our people to get it. I really do. I just want our people to get it. God has equipped so many of our churches and our communities with everything that we need. Do we tap into it like you said earlier? Do we utilize it? I love one of the things that Steve Harvey says. He talks about, he says, so many people are dying with their so many people have their gift in a parachute and are dying with that gift in a parachute because they never jumped off the cliff. So many people could be getting the help they need from the body if people operated in the gift of mercy. Operated in the gift of wisdom. Operated with the gift of knowledge or a word of knowledge. Operated in the gift of faith. Operated in the gift of leadership. Operated in the gift of giving. You know, you've heard people say, you know, God is tired of such and such. God is tired of such and such. I kind of hate saying that because so many people have said it, you know, year after year after year, and I'm like, okay, well, that means God has been tired of certain things for like 70 years because somebody's saying it once a year, every year. But I know God has to be looking down on us saying, look, y'all, I just want y'all to get it. I just want you to get it. And not only do I want you to get it, those of y'all who already got it, I want y'all to continue doing what you're doing so that other folks can see that there's some people out there that got it and are doing what God wants them to be doing in these areas.
That's good.
It bothers me to a high spiritual level, Adia, that you have certain gifts in the church that are underutilized, not utilized, or thrown out the door. Not say thrown, pushed out the door. But yet you see the people experiencing what they're experiencing. And I just got to be transparent. It pees me off. I don't think I should say what I want to say, but you got the picture. It ticks me off. Let me tell you something. I think about what God has put on my heart to do with Wills, and I reached out to several pastors that participated with the surveys that we've done a couple of months ago, right? With the analysis of possession, resources, and finances, right? The effectiveness of them, and I reached out to them, and I'm just so grateful that almost every one of them said. When I said, look, God's really placed in my heart, pray about it, see what God says. I really would love to come and offer this, a workshop to your members and anybody else in the community that will be willing to come regarding Wills. And my heart just jumped for joy when I got those quick responses. And again, I got one coming up from one of those particular churches or ministries this Sunday. Because that says that there's somebody that cares about the people that are within their congregation. That those individuals realize that there's some gifts out there that they don't have. Don't you know if they had the gift to teach this, that they would have probably done it by now? So if you don't have it, you got to get with somebody who does. Amen?
Exactly.
I know I'm preaching to the choir, but I'm sure some choir members are going to be listening that I can't see who's listening right now. Doggone. Especially when I'm willing to give it for free. God gave it to me, so who am I to not give it freely?
Mm-hmm.
Now, if you want to bless me for what it takes me to put into it for my time, I'm willing to receive as well. I will graciously receive that gift of giving. Amen. But to be willing to give it freely, it says so much. And the fact that this church that I'm going to on Sunday, the people that are going to come, and what they're going to do once they get it, that's what's most important. What about the person who hears about this, who just lost a loved one, who didn't have their affairs in order? Who may be mad because they're going through all of that right now, upset and disgusted because they're going through all of that right now. But then they hear, you know what, sometimes people don't do it because it's just a thing of ignorance, because they didn't get taught it. So now you got it, and now we can settle down that angry spirit. We can let them know, don't blame them for not having their affairs in order because they may not have knew. But here are some resources and here are some individuals that you can go to that can help you with that situation so you can get your affairs in order. So the pain, the disgust, the pedoed, and all that stuff, the ticked off that you're experiencing, nobody else has to experience that in your life. Not where you have control. Your son or your daughter, your children don't have to experience what you experience. Your spouse doesn't have to experience what you experience. Your parents don't have to experience what you experience. That's ministry, y'all.
Amen.
I'm tired, y'all. I don't know about you, but I'm tired of seeing our people go through so much of what they're going through, and I just believe a lot of it is unnecessary. If my people, who are called by my name, will humble themselves and pray, turn from their wicked ways, then I will heal the land. Somebody needs to hear. Stop asking God to heal something that you ain't willing to do the beginning parts, like humble yourself. It takes a humbling spirit to say, you know what? I ain't got together in this area, and I need some help.
Mm-hmm. You're right.
God does not always send a supernatural healing for everything. He sends his messengers. He didn't miraculously establish a church. He sent apostles to establish a church. Apostles, and then prophets to proclaim and give a message and speak those things of God, those utterances of God. I'm done, y'all. I'm done. Mama?
Yes. Wow, it's some things. Okay. One thing I want to speak on is that, quickly, is that what stands out is that no gift is exalted above another. And that is so important because I've been in a situation where, you know, especially when I first got saved and really didn't know anything because I've never been exposed to reading the Bible or anything of that nature. And so I'm trying to learn things, and it seemed as though that because I didn't operate in the gifts that the others did, I was made to feel, I felt bad. And God, why I'm not doing this? And I just felt like really, really bad, you know. And so it's so important that we know that, number one, these gifts come from God. Mm. God said he's no respecter of persons. And it belongs to him anyway. These are his gifts. So he allow us, you know, he allow us to use us through the gifts. But they come from him, you know. So when I felt so insecure, you know, around people that was operating in the different gifts because I wonder what's wrong with me. You know what I'm saying? You know, maybe I'm going to hell. You know, I mean, because that's just how I felt. And so to me, this is so good for you. So someone out there can know it does not matter. God will use you. If you want to be, God will use you. And you do have gifts. And we all don't have the same gifts, you know. But with that being said, no gift is exalted above another. Because Jesus Christ gives us the gifts. And he is no respecter of persons. Amen.
Amen.
Thank you. Yeah. Adia?
Only thing I can, you know, just add to what Cousin Mary has said and what you have said is that just like we have to be good stewards over what God has given us, the gift that he has given us, it still requires us to be good stewards over it. And we should just be thankful that gifts come without repentance, you know, and that God loves us so much that he does not look at where we are or where we came from in order to give us a gift. And so I'm so glad that he can see into our future, into our destiny, as Jeremiah 29:11 says. He wants to give us an expected end. So I'm so glad that he sees beyond the person, the physical, the flesh of who we are, and still blesses us with gifts, not just a one-time thing, but every day God is blessing us, and he's giving us gifts. And it's just us, and we just need to make sure that we're cultivating those gifts and that we are paying it forward and that we are being good stewards over all of the gifts God has given us, whether it's our possession, our resources, our finances, whether it's the job that God has blessed us with, whether it's been the gift to be able to speak, whether it's been the gift to be able to nurture, whatever the gift is that God has given us, one is to recognize who the gift came from, who the gift giver is, and to be a good steward over that gift.
That's good. That's good. I think that's an awesome way to end tonight's show, with that word that you just mentioned, which was cultivate your gift. Cultivate your gift. Good gracious. That's a whole nother show. You know, if we cultivate the gift of mercy, if we cultivate the gift of giving, that means we just don't put it somewhere and we let nothing happen with it. That's a good word for those who are pastors. That's a good word for those who are teachers. Don't just think because you express the word that you have cultivated anything. You just put it out there. You just put a seed in the ground. Sometimes we got to get out there and we got to work that soil as well.
Mm-hmm.
So this is what we're going to do. I'm going to really be really thinking and praying hard about where we're going to go at for the rest of the month. We have three more Thursdays in the month, the 11th, the 18th, and the 25th. And I think that I may on next week just pick up and really teach this, teach another episode of dealing with spiritual gifts in PRF. If not, we'll deal with wills, because I really want this to really get out, because there are so many people dying. And when I think about the statistics that are out there of people that are dying without wills, it breaks my heart. And so I may take, if I have the opportunity to do the evaluation of last week and this week, or last week and next week, seminar that we're going to be doing in this particular area, you know, that may just enhance the validity of how important it is. So I have to see what God does on Sunday and how he stretches me and how he allows us to minister to those individuals, and we'll go from there. But Mama, Adia, thank you all so much for being on the show. We definitely can't do it without you. I know we do it with God, but we definitely can't do it without you. So y'all are definitely vital resources to this prayer table. And I love you, and we're just going to ask that we just continue to help spread the word, help encourage individuals to go to our Facebook page, possessions.resources.finances, and like the comments as well, but most especially like the page. And Mama has been out there just blasting so much on the PRF page. It has been bananas. And she actually put a challenge out there. She said, "Where y'all at, table? Where the rest of y'all at?" You know, Mama's out there. She's just grinding, just commenting on everything. And let's get the dialogue going. You know, this is one of these non-traditional ways of ministering, I would say. To me, it's not anything unorthodox. To me, it's just regular, because God is involved with it. But let's get our friends and our family, those who we love and know they need these different teachings and these dialogues, and let's get them going on the PRF table so that their lives can be blessed more than what they are right now. So, until next week, God bless you. We love you, and have a great evening.
All right.
All right. Good night, everybody. Good night, family.
Good night.
Bye.
Good night.
Good night.